I'm John Pastor, spending time with Alex Pollack, a senior fellow at the Mises Institute, author of Finance and Philosophy, Why We're Always Surprised, and co-author of Surprised Again. However, we're speaking of the almighty dollar. And the almighty dollar has reigned since the Bretton Woods after the Second War catastrophe and remains. However, there are challenges. And the challenge comes from China, the rising power, we're told, by China all the time, and other currencies, but chiefly China right now, not the yen, China. Let's speak to the facts on the ground. The idea here is that maybe there should be a currency that isn't the dollar. So they mention the renminbi. They also mention crypto. What can go wrong and why? Let's begin, first of all, with crypto, because it's so popular to talk of it. As I understand it, Alex, Mr. Rogoff believes that crypto has a future, chiefly its version called stablecoin, but that is not a separate success to the dollar. That's an augmentation of the dollar. Is that how he sees it?
Well, it's certainly how I see it. The whole point of a stablecoin, in the vast majority of stablecoins, is to tie themselves as closely as possible to the dollar, to be redeemable in dollars, not to be redeemable in anything else. So I think it's right to say that stablecoins, which are the topic of the day, as you say, and just had a very favorable law get through Congress helping them out, they are really just part of the dollar system. And as dollar stablecoins, which is most of all stablecoins, flourish, it really augments the dominance of the U.S. dollar, because they're all tied to the dollar, and they're not a competing currency. Now, they may compete, and this is a point I think the book makes very nicely. They may compete with $100 bills in the underground or informal economies around the world. You know, there's about $2.3 trillion of Federal Reserve notes, that is to say U.S. actual printed paper currency outstanding, and nobody knows for sure, but it's estimated that something like 45% or half of that is actually circulating overseas as payment systems in places other than the United States. Well, that's more or less $1 trillion, and the most popular note is the $100 bill, preferably new and crisp. $100 bills, and they circulate all over the world for payments. Well, it's possible, Rogoff says, that the stable coins will be a big competitor for $100 bills, mm-hmm. because they're faster, they're electronic, they're international, and so on. But they won't be a new currency.
The challenge from the renminbi, what is Mr. Rogoff's opinion? Is there a strength that it has the dollar does not?
The book, very interestingly, in my mind, goes through a whole series of possible challenges in the past and present to the dominance of dollar, starting with the Soviet Union. And he has a good discussion of projections back in the 1950s and 60s of how the Soviet Union was going to surpass the American economy and therefore might have to climb accordingly. And obviously, the opposite happened. There's a very interesting chapter on Japan, or when people were running around talking about how Japan was going to surpass the United States economically and financially. The biggest banks in the world at one time were all Japanese. And of course, that didn't happen with the double bubble in Japan and the lost decade and whatnot. So nobody thinks of that as a big challenge anymore, although Japan is a very rich and competent country, obviously. And then how about China? Well, China is very big. China has had a tremendous growth record, but they, like Japan, also created an immense real estate bubble. As I like to think about it, they made GDP go up by building empty apartment buildings. It gets measured in GDP, but it's not creating real wealth. And they have their problem. Rogoff points out they have problems with the legal system, with liquidity, with the freedom of the markets, with the possibility of exchange controls. And then something really interesting, I think he says, is that over the past decades, people like him have been so impressed by the competence of the Chinese bureaucrats, sort of in the history of the Mandarins and the development of the Mandarin class. But then he says that now I'm seeing that the Chinese bureaucrats have now the problem that party loyalty and political loyalty is getting more important than merit. And he thinks that is also a negative. So he sees the possibility of a Chinese challenge, but not anytime soon, and a lot of problems in the way. But you have to think about it. And all those seem to me quite reasonable thoughts.
And now the number one threat, and it is a threat, and it's not got a solution right now. That's the debt. It's in the trillions. It might be in the 30 trillions. Mr. Rogoff is clear the debt is the challenge.
$37 trillion or so, yeah.
And until and if that is solved, until and if the Congress takes on the entitlement system that they built, the dollar's at risk. Is that fair to say, Alex?
It is fair to say, and certainly Rogoff thinks it's fair to say, and has a long discussion of this in the book. He describes the growing debt of the U.S., growing relative to the size, obviously growing in absolute terms, rapidly, but growing relative to the size of the economy. Also, he describes that as the Achilles heel of the dollar. Now, as I think about this, I remember, you know, in a financial crisis of some time ago, that is to say the sovereign debt crisis of the 1980s, I was in a conference one time, and there was an old banker. A guy ran a small bank. And we were talking about crisis, and he said something that seemed to me tremendously insightful. He said, the crisis happens when the bankers stop lending. And what triggers the crisis every time is when the lenders who've been financing the inflation of the bubble or the run-up in the price or the expansion of a sector beyond its economic basics, what really triggers the bubble is when the lenders stop lending. Well, can we imagine a point at which the lenders to the United States stop lending? It has happened to other people. The British sterling stopped being the dominant currency in the world. And
30 seconds, Alex. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Great Britain ended up begging the IMF for and getting bailouts from the International Monetary Fund. Should it happen, if the lenders stop lending, then you have only bad choices.
Alex Pollack, writing of a new book, Our Currency, Your Problem, by Kenneth Rogoff, for the Civitas Outlook. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.